Ripple Effect. This is the Empowering Youth Podcast from Building Utah Youth, a nonprofit organization established in 2007 to provide powerful leadership training to the youth of our communities. And now, here's your host, by board member, co-owner of Rapport International, and certified trainer, Brett Johnston.
Hello, and welcome back to the Empowering Youth Podcast. I'm Brett Johnston.
I'm JJ Chinowski.
And I am Mesa Whitaker, and I have the privilege of introducing Addie Christensen, formerly known as Addie Harris.
Hi.
A.K.A. Addie Harris.
Yay. A.K.A. Addie Harris.
Addie Harris Christensen.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome.
Thanks for being here.
Of course. I'm excited.
I'm so excited because I've known you for a large percentage of your life.
Yes.
So
this is really
fun for me.
Years and years and years.
I remember you were my flyer. So we went through all of these things back at Airbound.
Yes.
So that was a lot of fun.
Oh, carpooled. Yeah. All the things.
The whole nine.
Yes.
Everybody should experience some cheer.
They should.
Everyone.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, let's get started.
Well, where do you want to start?
We can start from the beginning-ish. I'm originally from Logan and was born and raised there. Loved it. Very tight family. I have the most amazing parents in the world. Got a younger brother and then a younger sister. So
how much younger?
My brother's 3.5 years and then my sister is 8 years. So we're all about 3.5, 4 years apart.
So when you were in high school, your brother was in junior high and your sister was in elementary.
Yeah. My brother was freshman when I was a senior, but that's kind of the breakdown.
Yeah.
So
did you guys go to high school together or were you barely split?
We did 1 year together, one year together. So
Oh, when you're a freshman, great. You go to high school?
Yeah.
In Logan?
In Logan, okay. That's how it was at the time. So
not for me.
Yeah.
Freshman year at mine was switched.
And that's how it was for me too. I was only in high school, sophomore, junior, senior.
Right.
Year. But anyway, yeah.
That's so cool. So
that's a family. Love them. They're great. We're all really close. I've had a great relationship with my whole family my whole life, which is awesome. I'm trying to think
back. You're thinking.
Yes. No.
Yes.
Trying.
I'm thinking back to the beginning. Life was good. Had a really happy childhood. My dad always says, you know, I was a pretty easy kid to raise. I'm the typical oldest sister type.
Typical
A.
Oldest sister type A personality.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Little mama.
Yep.
Very just, organized. Yep.
Perfectionist.
Yeah. Structured. Everything
was
perfect.
Just in its spot.
Yeah. Yes.
Still is.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Wish I could say otherwise, but 1000% like still is. So
what were your friends like?
Had really great friends for most of my upbringing. Like I didn't have super close friendships through like elementary school, but middle school, high school, I had the exact same group of friends. There were 8 girls and we were all really tight and they were all honestly amazing. Super overachievers, wanted to get good grades, wanted to progress. And so they were really great influences on me and I'm really grateful for them. A lot of us are still really close. So
were they in different like sports with you or what?
Yeah. So I found cheer when I was 8. So that was like my thing my entire life. 8 to 18 was cheer for me.
How old are you when you started, Mace?
Cheer. Oh, heck. I was a gymnast first, so I would say probably 10 or 12.
Yeah.
Everyone knew. Addie knew cheer when I started. Like, she was very
she was progressive. The cheer.
Yeah, absolutely. The cheer. Absolutely.
No. So when you were growing up, family time, what did family time look like, sound like, feel like? What did you guys do for fun?
Well, my brother has always been a really incredible athlete. He's awesome. I love him. So a lot of our family time was spent watching him go play baseball, football, basketball, all the things. And it still is that way. He just barely finished playing college baseball last weekend.
Who did he play for?
BYU.
Nice.
Yeah. Wow. So he played 3 years at the U if you're a Utah fan.
Nice.
So he's got both. But anyway, that's like been our family thing is sports for a long time. And me and my sister both cheered. So lots of supporting, going to a lot of sports games because of course you got the cheerleaders at the sports games. So that was like
fully aware.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. You know.
Oh yeah.
Totally.
All the sports things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my family's really competitive. So my parents really wanted us to, you know, be the best we could be, whether that was putting us on the best teams, really dedicating a lot of our times to what we were passionate about. So they were great supports to us. And
so you guys were traveling a lot together.
Yeah.
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 And they were always at the games.
Always.
Mom and dad. Who are you closer to, mom or dad?
Oh, God. Gosh, my and mom I know I'm probably, this
a podcast.
Yeah. But. Dad, sorry.
Yeah.
No, my mom and I are really, really tight. Like
awesome.
Even through high school, I could say like my mom was my best friend, which is lucky. So
her mom is sincerely the most kind person you'll ever meet. Wow. Just an absolute gem of a human.
To know her is to love her. But absolutely. So we were really close.
That's that generational gap, JJ. My mother was my best friend. Mm-hmm. I would never say that.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
That's awesome, though.
It's one of the wonderful shifts that have happened. And I love hearing it because it's parents that have really grown up and understood how valuable that time was.
Right.
So that's how they wanted to show up.
Yeah.
Which is just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're the best. What was school like for you?
School was, I hate to feel like I'm bragging, but it came like natural to me. It was something I was naturally pretty good at. I, like I said, perfectionist type A. So I was really driven to succeed and be really good at it. On the academic side, the social side is where it got a little bit trickier for me.
When did that start though? What age do you believe it
first
started?
First grade.
First grade. So into elementary school is when it started.
Yeah. So to keep a long story short, the transfer from kindergarten to first grade was very difficult for me, going from half day to full day, specifically the eating lunch portion at school, which sounds...
Oh, because it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But awesome. Why?
So I, from the earliest time, have had a lot of anxious thoughts. That's been something that's been a thing for me. And that is when it really manifested, was that first grade, kindergarten to first grade jump. And there was this specific situation where I would go to eat lunch at school and you had to pick either normal milk or chocolate milk. I didn't like milk. And the lady who collected your tray at the end of the line would make you drink your milk if you hadn't drank your milk after lunch. And to me, that was just the most anxiety inducing thing of my life.
Wow.
And so the solve was that I would bring my little water bottle to school so that I didn't have to choose the normal milk or the chocolate milk and didn't have to drink it and all the things. But
I was waiting for her to tell me she would dump it in her water bottle.
That's what I was thinking too. Like she had this.
I would dump my milk in the water bottle and then put the lid on it. And then that go dump in the toilet.
Yes.
No, that probably would have been a better idea.
Yeah.
But the problem was if I ever forgot the water bottle, or let's say like my mom hadn't been to the store, we're out of water bottles, I would have these really extreme, anxious, like physical reactions where I couldn't go to school because I was so sick to my stomach. I was nauseous. I was so nervous. And so at that point, my parents knew like,
something's up.
This is weird for lack of a better term. But from there, that was their challenge raising me, is I was going to do my homework. I was going to make my bed. I was going to be a rule follower. But when it came to the mental side, that was going to be something that was a little tougher. So
you went and they went and had you checked out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what did you find out?
Had anxiety.
Yeah.
Got the diagnosis. You know?
Surprise. You have anxiety.
Yeah.
But wait, how did they deliver it to you though?
I actually can't totally remember. And I don't think that they really like threw the word anxiety like around a lot. Like they weren't trying to label me with that.
Yeah. They weren't labeling you.
Yeah. But I knew I had it, and they took me to a little therapist who I would go to once a week. And I thought it was really cool, 'cause I just went and talked to this guy. And then my mom took me to get lunch after. Like, I thought it was great. I'd leave school for an hour.
I think I have anxiety too then.
Yeah.
I want mom to take me. I want mom to take me to talk to JJ and then go get lunch after.
Let's go.
Yeah. So I don't know. It was hard. It was really hard, but my parents were really proactive in trying to help me, which was...
Well, they were helping.
They were helping. Yeah.
But let's walk through that anxiety piece for a minute, because I would dare say most people experience anxiety.
Yeah.
I remember growing up, and it's like there was moments where I was nervous about something, but not to the level where I would become, you know, I wouldn't be able to go to school or... I remember those nervous energies. Do you remember having anxiety about things?
Just nervous energy.
Just nervous energy, right?
Yeah, I still do.
That's what I'm saying. It still shows up.
Yeah.
But you are having an extreme case of it.
Yeah.
And it's in the way of your development.
Right.
Because you're withdrawing from people and situations because of how you feel.
Exactly.
So how did you work with that? Like, how long did you work with this? How did you work with this?
It's still an ongoing thing, if we're being frank.
Heck
like,
yeah.
it's still something I have to really work at and be aware of. It's gotten way, way, way better over the years. Like, by the time I was going to high school, I wasn't having to take the water bottle to lunch, right?
Yeah.
But it was really...
You didn't have to drink milk.
Yeah. They were, the milk that requirement...
She retired.
She'd get a monster out of the fridge.
NASA or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. There you go. But yeah, over time, it just changed, I would say. The things that set me off or caused me to get really anxious were really changed and were different.
Is it because of a maturity...
I think so.
Experiencing things more.
Yeah.
It wasn't new anymore. You knew how to deal with it. Therefore, yeah, it wouldn't trigger you.
Yeah. But big changes were what were really hard for me. So it's like going to a new school. Like every time I had to make the jump from elementary to middle school to junior high to high school, that felt huge to me. And that caused like a lot of me feeling sick, me feeling nauseous, just like on top of crying, you know.
I've got to jump because I'm anxious. How do you deal with that now?
Well, I think that it's interesting because once I got to college, there was a major shift, and I think I let my mom like deal with a lot of my anxiety, kind of used her as a support for a long time, just because I knew that if I was anxious, she'd do whatever she could to help me. And when I got to college, I was on my own. Like I was living down in Orem. No one was going to help me except myself, which was kind of a wake up call. And it made me, when I did have anxious thoughts, I had to deal with them. It wasn't my mom or my dad trying to help me through it. I had to do it.
So when you said you had to deal with it, how did you deal with it?
It was a lot of work. I also got on medication, which was really hard for me. I was really resistant to that for a really long time because I felt like that made something wrong with me. And that was really difficult to be like, no one else is. Now I know a lot of people are doing it.
I say no one else is, but you believe that.
Yeah. No one was telling me that as a high school student. That
people aren't walking around telling you they're medication.
On fluoxetine. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So for me, that was helpful. And it's actually been something that I can like phase in and out of now through more anxious periods of my life, which has been cool.
Which is real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so that really helped. And then just learning to be more, I think, emotionally mature was really big for me. Learning that the smaller experiences that I was having where I was having these really big reactions maybe weren't as big as I thought. And I think that just comes with maturity too.
Yeah. Life
building
experience.
Things so big in your,
yeah, exactly.
It's the chocolate milk scenario.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like,
and now she walked in and they told her to drink chocolate milk. She goes, no, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd move right along.
Yes.
And say pass.
I think that's incredible though, with the sport you chose too, because it is such a high intensity sport where you practice and you do all this for, you know, how long, and you have 3 minutes on a stage.
You perform.
But she still knows it. Like when you put in the work and you know it, I understand that it's always a risk and you're still going to be nervous about it, but it's still like, it was still part of your identity.
Oh, totally. Totally. And I think this is just something about cheer. You spend the whole year practicing the exact same routine. So it's like, that's not a lot of change, and change is what really set me off. So that was a good sport for me because I practiced the same thing. I knew exactly what to expect. I knew exactly where to stand. I knew exactly what move to make. Whereas if I was out there playing soccer, that looks different every game. So I think cheer was beneficial for me that way, but it was surprising. That was like my thing, and that's what I was good at. And I had a lot of confidence in it. And even though you would think as someone who had a lot of anxiety, getting up on a big stage and performing for a bunch of people would be really anxiety inducing, but I actually really thrived in it.
Well, and the other part that I'm connecting with what Mace is saying, it also goes even deeper to the friendships and things like that, because I mean, cheer is tough.
Yeah.
As far as relationships with cheer, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bunch of girls that can become, you know, very hard in moments. I think that's a fair thing to say.
You but mean also, catty? You know,
depending on the group.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, I mean, you have as a, you know, as a stunt group, there's the four of you, or it can be even lower than that. And you really do rely on that person. So you can be having a fantastic day. You can show up big, but if the people underneath you don't, it's still a variable thing. So that for me is like, that gives me anxiety.
Sure.
And for you to say, oh no, I thrived. I knew where I was supposed to be. I was good. That's incredible.
Yeah. It was really good for me.
So when you were going through junior high and high school, you said you didn't have a lot of like close friends outside of cheer. Did you have friends?
So I really formed my core friend group that went with me through high school, starting in junior high.
That's so, when it started.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And that's when I really connected with my friends. Four of us cheered and four of us played soccer. So we kind of intermingled the group and we were seriously so close. It was super awesome.
Eight girls that.
Yeah.
All together.
Yeah.
That's gotta be a record.
That's a foreign concept.
I know.
Wow. Brett.
Can you believe? Yeah.
That's gotta be a record.
Yeah. I was lucky.
And we're missing something here.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
I know. So tell us about junior high.
Junior high was interesting for me because at the time up in Logan, it was like 8th and 9th grade is at junior high. And then 10th, 11th, 12th is at the high school. And also at the time in Logan, you couldn't cheer in high school until you were a junior. It was this really strange rule that only Cache Valley had.
So as a sophomore, you could not cheer at the high school?
No. So I was still doing competitive cheer at that point rather than being affiliated with the high school.
And they went to school with horse and buggy, JJ.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of wondering. How old is this school?
Yeah, ancient policy. Yeah.
Wow. No, so you leave middle school.
Yeah.
Right? And you were cheering in middle school.
Yeah, just but competitively. But
not at the school, though.
Right.
Just competitive.
Right.
And playing soccer. And that's how you were able to do both.
Well, I didn't do soccer. Just the girls in my friend group did soccer.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Confusing.
Yeah.
But the thing about junior high is everyone started to get really involved in the high school because, of course, when you're a freshman, you start playing like freshman football for the high school or soccer or volleyball or whatever. And that left me.
Except cheer.
Yeah, except cheer. And that was really hard because all of my friends started to make like, besides the girls who cheered with me, started to make like these senior friends or become friends with the older kids and get really involved. And I was left out. And that was really hard for me. They were getting invited to like all these older kid hangouts and I was
not
kicking it at home.
Yeah. But you were still doing competitive cheer. So you still had your thing.
Yes.
And you were very academically driven.
Yes.
Then?
Okay. Yeah. So that was a pretty good time for me, I would say.
Did you at that time, did you have a boyfriend or anything?
No, that happened.
Okay. That happened later.
Well, actually, yeah, that started my freshman year of high school but that's technically junior high. So that's where it gets confusing. 9th grade.
Okay.
Yes. Got my first boyfriend and we dated on and off until I was in college.
Wow. So yeah, a long time. Okay.
Long time.
Can we talk about him?
Sure.
Tell me.
Everybody, it's not who I married.
Well, pretty much everybody goes through this journey and that's what we're talking about. It's not meant to be like getting all in the dirty, but it's understanding those relationships are important for people to understand them.
Yeah.
Everyone in this table's had, moments of those relationships where it's like, you think it's great.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Right. Yeah. We're obviously really close, on again, off again, dating, not dating. Everyone would think we're dating, but we were saying we weren't dating, but we were. Anyway, it was really...
You were hanging out.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. And so, that started when I was in 9th grade and then all through high school. And for those first 2 years, it was pretty serious. And then I got to high school and I was like, oh, look at all these older guys. I kind of want to date around. And then he did the same thing later. But it was always like the two of us coming back to each other, which I'm really grateful for him because it taught me a lot and he's a great person. But we became really close and I became really reliant on him because he knew me so well. Mm-hmm. So then when we were not together, that was really heartbreaking for me to like move on and be with other people. Cause in my brain, it was always like, we'll get back together eventually.
It's like same safety net with mom.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Comfort zone, sticking around the same people. That was definitely a theme for me. It's like same friends, same boy all through that high school experience, which was interesting. Taught me a lot, but eventually you can't keep up with that anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So how did you end up in class?
Oh, that's a good story. So I started high school cheer, and Brooke Lewis was
shout
one
out
of my
Brooke.
Teammates. Yay, shout out to Brooke.
Mesa absolutely. Just got back from Italy.
Yeah,
me too.
For
download. I actually ran into
thanks for the invite.
I know.
I actually ran into Brett.
Thanks for the invite. Yes.
I ran into Brett at the airport Saturday night coming home.
No.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. That's so
funny. Wow. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. I love Brooke.
Anyways, yeah, the big Italian wedding.
Yeah. We love Brooke.
Brooke's the best. And I looked up to her a lot. She was a senior when I was a junior. We cheered together. And when she graduated, I was like, what are you doing? Because you seem to have it all figured out. And she was like, well, let me introduce you to rapport. And I knew pretty much nothing about training.
How old
were
you?
Class. I was 17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. I mean, that's wonderfully.
Yes.
Yeah. It was right before I was going to start my senior year. So that's like a really pivotal time in life. So it came at a very, very good time for me for multiple reasons. But yeah, came... or when that was 2017 and talked to her, but I didn't know anything about what I was getting into. I honestly viewed coming to class as like a great resume builder. I'm like, I'm going to be applying to colleges and programs in the next few years. So, or the next year. So this would be great to add to it.
Yes.
It's so funny. Type A individuals always are like, this is going to be great. A resume builder. I can put this, you know, and then type B are like, I think I'm in trouble. This is a punishment.
Did you go with Jaden Robinson?
I don't think so.
No. Okay. You wouldn't.
I don't think so. Yeah. But I
just know he's like the year before. I think he was
I think he was 2018.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Okay. Well, there you go.
Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. So that kind of is what drove me there is Brooke saying like, hey, well, let me get you involved in this. And I was on board. I thought I knew a lot about leadership because I had been a captain on my cheer team multiple times. I was a captain going into my senior year. I'd just been like made a captain. So I'm like, what else is there
to
learn?
You've just been voted captain.
Yes.
And you're going into your summer between.
Yeah.
It's probably about it would have been, you already started practicing.
Yes.
For your senior year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So can I sidebar us?
Yes.
Okay. Mountain Crest, did they do the vote? Did you have to be voted in by your peers or was it?
No. Okay. So, and I was actually at Ridgeline. Ridgeline was a brand new high school.
Yeah.
So I was there and my teammates just voted me in. It wasn't like the student vote.
Still.
Thank heaven.
A really big vote.
Yeah, it was my teammates. So
what do you mean by the peers? Like the
school.
Publics of like not the team.
Like Skyview, a great example, another school out of Cache Valley, they vote their cheerleaders in. The actual student body
votes. You try out in front of the entire school and then they vote on who they want to be
rather
the
than
to
like
make
judges.
The team.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then for who the captains are going to be.
I believe it's both.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But anyway, no, luckily I did not experience that. It was just my teammates voting me in,
which is still a really big deal.
Yeah.
Because I mean, everyone wants to be captain. It's like, you know, one, it's a status thing, but two, you get involved, you get to choose outfits. It's a lot of responsibility.
Terrible.
It meant a lot to me. It was really big. So.
What I'm confused with is I want to talk to the superintendents. They use the word try out.
Yeah.
Let's get a new word.
It's across the board. That's the one
like
thing
on
I
your,
conceded to.
On your iPhone, what says, yeah, well,
look,
what does it say?
I get it. We're going out for the team. I understand.
Going out for the team.
And audition.
And it's called, the name of it is called that. Moving on.
Yes.
Got it. It just pisses me off.
But anyways, Brooke? You're a senior. You're already practicing with your team. You are a captain.
Yeah.
And you're talking with Brooke and she talks to you about team leadership.
Yeah, exactly. And I was actually supposed to go with a friend. And then for whatever reason, my friend couldn't come. So I was going by myself, which I was very nervous about. Yeah.
So this was a new experience.
Yeah.
And you were going to go with a friend and did the anxiety bus show up?
Oh yeah.
Oh, it did.
Oh yeah.
Wait a minute. You said it's good for my resume.
Yeah.
This is great.
That's the thing.
She's Monday morning quarterbacking also.
Okay.
Yeah.
So walk me through.
Yeah. So even though I had this great group of friends and everything, and like things looked really good from the outside, during the time when I was going to class, it was a really, really, really dark time in my life. I had been through an experience with the boyfriend and two of my friends where there had been some dishonesty and it had hurt me really bad. And I was already not in a great place mentally, which was really hard for a lot of people to understand, because like outside looking in, I'm like the cheer captain, I'm doing great in school, I have these great friends. But I was really struggling.
Did you feel like you were falling apart?
I just felt like, what everyone else thought of me mattered so much to me that I couldn't
have your moment.
Yeah. Even though things were so good, like nothing felt good enough. And then when the disagreement situation happened, that was like the straw that broke the camel's back a little bit. I felt like I couldn't trust anyone. I had a lot of suicidal ideation, which a lot of people didn't know about. But yeah, it was a dark time, and I didn't really know why I felt that way, but I did. And it was hard.
It's everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so hard. So anyway, training couldn't have come at a better time, because it really helped me through that.
Did you talk to your mom at that time?
Yeah. Like I had looked at my parents in the eyes and said, I don't want to be here anymore. Mm. So like they were very aware of it. I had friends who knew, but it was one of those things where, you know, like I said, it looks like everything's going great. So a lot of people didn't know how to help me, because like friends, check, school, check, cheer,
grades, check.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't really feel like I even knew how to help myself.
I've got to stop right there, because that's such a big deal, what you just said. And now I want to just, you know, somebody that's going through that, you reached out to your parents.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You wouldn't have changed that for a moment.
No. And my parents, like, they never were mad at me about it. They never, like, I knew I wasn't in trouble for feeling that way.
They just listen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they wanted to help.
They wanted to help. Yeah. They wanted to carry that burden for me.
They didn't know what to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And who does? Who does when your kid comes to you and tells you that? So,
Kent, would you share what advice they gave?
What did you guys talk about? How did you guys, you know, work on this?
Well, for a long time after, you know, that situation happened and I got really bad, they were just always right there. Like they were never far from me.
They weren't letting you out.
Yeah. Like there were nights where my mom slept in my bed with me, sort of thing.
Chills.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. And so they were always there. And my parents, the way that they raised me is like, you always have our trust until you give us a reason not to. And so because we had that really strong relationship, I think that gave me just the peace of mind to know I could go to them with that, and that they weren't going to judge me and they weren't going to be mad at me about it, but we were going to work through it. And, you know, they were going to offer me support where I needed it and check in all the time to make sure I was doing okay, and that their support was really what made all the difference. And I also had really great friends too, because they didn't know the full extent of it, but they knew I was struggling. And so they showed up all the time. They were always there for me. We did a lot together. It was
sweet. What was the time period between when this went down and when you went to class?
I want to say that this happened in June, and
August
is when I went to class. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So the whole summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So she gets out of school and this comes kind of crashing down. It's a lot of weight, and you have the whole summer, and you have in that summer is, you know, I think there's always like a moratorium where there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
And then you get to start practicing again. So she's got to put her game face on and be the cheer captain and, you know, but there's still a lot of downtime.
Yeah, totally. July was fully
downtime
off of cheer, if I'm remembering. Yeah. Yeah. And so that was pretty interesting. And because of that fight and that argument, I was not with the boy.
Yeah.
And then two of my very best friends were involved, and I had completely cut off communication with them. I was really, really bitter, really angry.
Because you were really good at holding grudges.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So that is kind of the segue to where I was at going into class. Like a lot of things were going good, but behind the scenes, not great.
Mm. I think so. Just before you start your senior year, go ahead, Meg.
I think it's really interesting that the person that nominated you is very similar in a lot of those ways. And so I think when you look at, you know, this training and who it can impact, it's, you know, the person you used to be. And I mean, it brings me to tears to think that someone who had gone through that situation saw it in you without you probably ever telling them that.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah.
And knew what this could mean to you. Yeah, and right. that you deserved to know you on the other side of that. Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
So, sorry. Just a unique take there.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you've got front row seats to the whole show, Mace. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the truth.
But she shares with you the gift and you just say, I'm going.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Like I said, I was like, this will be great for college.
So you looked up enough to Brooke, though, that you were like, sure, I'll do that. Yeah. Sounds great.
Yeah.
That is not a normal response. To
no. Yeah.
But I think that when I think about it, though, you're 17 years old. You're very mature. You're an alpha, you know, driven with your grades and school, you're checking all these boxes.
Yeah.
So it really doesn't surprise me that you would say, yeah, let's do it. Why not? I mean, I'm doing all these things.
Yeah.
That's not the normal person who shows up to class.
No.
Yeah. I mean, on the outside, I was like, yeah, let's do it. That'll be great. But I was
until you were on the bus ride going to Daniel Summit.
Literally. Yeah. Well, and I'm sitting there with my backpack sweating to death because I'm so scared.
Knew nobody on the bus.
Knew nobody. Oh, knew nobody.
Wow.
So that was scary. And I, at the time, I was so afraid. Like I remember my mom being like, get out of the car, like get on the bus. It's going to be great.
Oh, really?
Yes. But I was so nervous. And then, yeah, I think though, if my friend would have come with me, I would have just like piggybacked off of her and it wouldn't have been a push, you know, because I'm like, yeah, I know one person that's good enough for me. So it was a blessing in disguise. For
so
sure.
You get on the bus and you're driving up there. You're still in your head. You have the anxiety of the milk again.
This is power pack anxiety.
Yeah, this looks a little different than milk.
But it's the same thing.
I'm putting myself in her situation, and you get off, and did you have multiple cards? Did those kind of help you? Can you recall that?
I can't totally remember. I remember opening them, and they're so vague that I'm like, okay. What is going
like
on?
Like, trust the process.
Yes, trust the process.
Like, what does that mean?
Be enthusiastic. I'm
everything's
like,
in code.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that for me, I was like, where's the study material? Like,
Where's the agenda? Yes. That's what I said. Where's the agenda? Yes.
Where's an itinerary? Literally.
Yeah.
Literally. So that was kind of a funny feeling to me. And I remember like sitting by someone on the bus and chatting and stuff. And it was fine.
Putting on your game face.
Yeah.
You're good at
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Meanwhile, you're crawling out of your skin. Yes,
totally.
Bit, yeah.
Totally.
But you got there and you got to meet a lot of people. And mm-hmm. You got to meet some roommates.
Yeah.
A roommate.
Yeah. I want to say there were four of us in there. Full house.
Nice.
It's like, yes. I mean, Cheer definitely prepped you for that one.
Yes. Sure.
But you didn't know the other three that were in your room.
No. No,
so you're like, oh, so we're
sharing a bed right now.
We're
put up the pillow wall.
Yeah. Wow.
Totally.
But I love it. I do.
So tell me a little bit about class.
Gosh, I still remember the first thing when you have to get up and give the little speech about being on time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got up there and I was like, I love public speaking. It's going to be great. Mm. And I got up there and like I said, I'm this perfectionist. I've never failed a test. I've never like failed a class. So to get up there and do my very best and be told like, not good enough. I was like,
wow.
Oh crap. What have I signed up for? And that at that point I was like, I'm in for it because this is not what I thought it was.
Who was your instructor? Do you remember?
Right here.
Oh,
Mr. Brett. Yeah. I was so afraid.
If it makes you feel any better, we just did a class in Vegas of 35 alpha business owners.
Cool.
Like, and every one of them had the exact same thoughts and feelings you just shared.
Yeah. Yeah. You get up there and I can't remember the exact terminology, but
it's made the choice to fail yourself.
Yes. Yes. And I was like, it seriously took me back and I have never forgotten it. Never. Because it was so jarring to me to hear that I'd failed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which was funny, but
not at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember that specifically, and that one exercise was like, oh boy. And, but the most memorable exercise of the entire thing for me was the vote.
Yeah.
That's
the toughest part of the
sucked.
Class.
Yeah. For lack of a better word.
That's the toughest part of the class.
Yeah. It was so hard because I don't know if context is needed, but to
what? No one voted for you.
Yeah. No one voted for me. Remind me what the question is. Like,
who would you trust with your life?
Yes. Yes. And to get up there, and I, for the record, I had made one friend the entire class. It was back to like comfort zone of like, well, if I got one person, I'm good.
This is not quite halfway in the training. So this is just after lunch, second day.
Yeah. And so I met like one good person and I was like, that's good enough for me. We can relate.
Good enough.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to survive.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one voted for me. And it was super jarring because I had been in multiple situations with cheer where a lot of people voted for me and got me to said I was a leader, and to be told that, you know, not a single person put your name on a list was so hard. And it taught me a lot. Taught me that
humbled.
Yes, definitely. Definitely took like, what's the phrase? I don't know. Like takes the wind out of your, I don't know. Yeah. It out just like, sail. Yeah. Where I was just like, okay, I'm not as good at this as I thought I was, which
it's a grounding tough. Moment.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But you got up quick from that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to think what else I remember.
You're thinking about it.
Yeah.
Obviously it wasn't powerless words, JJ.
Yeah. So they did a lot of processes there.
Yeah.
They talk about the samurai
warrior.
I mean, what if you could say one big thing that you took away that you still use today, I'd love to know that.
Yeah, I would say that the biggest thing that I learned is that I was so stuck in my comfort zone and that I was not allowing myself to grow because I was so just comfortable.
But that was what the anxiety drove yourself into that channel. Yeah.
I had conditioned myself to be comfortable.
Yourself to be comfortable. Yeah.
Right.
So you'd stretch a little bit when you had to.
Sure.
But it was really still in control.
Yeah, absolutely. And like it reflected in so many areas of my life where I kept the exact same friends all 4 years of high school. They're all great. I wouldn't have changed them anyway, but like I resisted meeting new people because I was comfortable with where I was at. I didn't feel like I like needed to stretch myself and make those new relationships because I was good. And then, you know, lots of other different situations where I didn't feel like I needed to stretch.
You got to really experience a lot that had to do with support.
Yeah.
Got to experience a lot that had to do with trust.
Right.
And you definitely left with a new perspective.
Yeah.
Especially around some people.
Yeah.
You know, and it's okay to forgive people.
Right.
You know, people make mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the first things. I mean, going to class taught me to like forgive myself for a lot and to forgive myself for a lot of the feelings I had had that I felt like, you know, like I talked about with like telling your parents that you don't want to be around anymore. That's heavy. And I felt a lot of guilt for the stress that I put on them in that situation.
I think from a parent's perspective, it would be more of a gratitude that you know, your son or daughter would be able to talk to you.
Sure.
I think that's what you mean. Then, because I can tell you that remember we talk about suicide in the training.
Yeah.
And it's like every single hand in the room will go up when you talk about it, that they have thought about it, know someone, attempted.
Right.
It's like that close to home.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, I'm not exactly an anomaly here. Like these are real things. There's a lot of social pressure going on.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that really made me forgive myself, I would say. Mm. And it made me realize that I was giving, you know, my power away to a lot of other people. And that was really hard. So one of the first things I did after class was I mentioned that I'd like been in the fight with the three people.
You passed yourself a couple of times and then right after class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So after that, I was able to, you know, forgive and move on and have those relationships. And I still do have two of those relationships now. And wow. I'm so grateful for that, because you never know. It's like, if I would have waited longer, maybe my friends would have been like, you know what? You took a long time getting over this. See ya. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's one of those things you can look back and laugh, or you sit there and go, you remember that time?
Yeah.
I think the neat thing is, it's like, you know, you're being forged through these moments to have more empathy for other people.
Yeah.
And what they're going through, and where someone may look at a situation and go, it's just, it's not that big of a deal. I don't know why you're making a big deal out of it. You can go, I understand it's a big deal.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being able to just talk to him about it.
Yeah. So that was really big, being able to finally move on from that.
But you came out and had the best senior year ever.
Yeah. For the most part, it was really, really good until the very, very end.
What happened?
But yeah, I had a great senior year. You know, I made amends with the friends, made amends with the boyfriend, and, you know, had a great time cheering, but I wanted to keep cheering in college. That was a dream of mine, had been for
that was the plan.
Ever.
That yes. was your identity.
Yes. Like, I remember I wrote in sixth grade an essay on like my dream, and it was about cheering in college. That was my dream from sixth grade.
Wow.
And, yeah, so I like totally, that was the plan. And I was planning on trying out for Utah State cheer. And so I started working with a private coach to, you know, get really good.
That's
and
what you do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And one day I was at, you know, this private tumbling lesson, and I was tumbling, landed and heard a pop and fell on the ground. And I was like, what just happened? It was so weird. It hurt for a minute, but
then it went away.
Then I was pretty much fine. Yeah. And we went to the doctor, got it checked out, said that I had just hyperextended my knee. Yeah, I kept...
But that ain't what happened.
No, I kept cheering. And I mean, to give some context, I had torn my ACL, MCL, a little bit of meniscus, but didn't know it. So I was just walking around with my knee flopping around. And, but I was not going to give up on this dream of college cheer. So I went, I tried out, I made it through all the first rounds. I wore this massive knee brace. And then on the very, very last round, I was in a stunt. My knee gave out. I fell. I was one of the very last people cut, and it was so devastating. And I felt like I just had lost my entire identity, because, you know, it's like, that's who I was. I was the girl cheered, and that is what brought me all the joy. And suddenly it was,
and that's not a quick recovery.
No, we went to the doctor after that, and because it had been a couple months of me walking around like that, like my knee had completely atrophied, my leg was tiny, I had no muscle left. So it was not only like, okay, well, there's your dream gone, now you get to have surgery and do 6 months of physical therapy yeah. while you're trying to go to college too.
Yeah. So what were some of those voices telling you then?
It was very much, I was so embarrassed, because a lot of people knew I was going to try out. I was pretty confident that I would make it. I had been told by like people on the team that, you know,
you got this,
you're a shoo-in.
No problem.
Yeah. And yeah. So when I wasn't, it felt really embarrassing. And
would you do it again?
Gosh, I've never thought about that. At the time, I really wanted to rehab and then try out again the next year, and due to some things that happened my freshman year, mm-hmm. I didn't do that. But it was like a weird space where I felt like I couldn't go to Utah State anymore, because I did not want to go to a football game and watch everyone do what I wanted to be doing, you know? And so luckily I had applied to UVU. And so that was my backup.
Plan B is move away.
Yep. Yep. Mm. And that was my backup. And I had applied to be in this leadership program there. It's called the Ambassador Program. I had gone to the interview day and I actually really liked it. But I was like, yeah, this is backup.
But that wasn't your dream.
No, yeah. No, not at all. So that was a big turning point where I had to figure out what was next. And
yeah, I mean, I hear you talking, and I think, you know, it's your dream.
Yeah.
But the devastation was probably equally as hard from the outside perspective, or more so.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I failed at something.
Yeah.
It's the pressure of everyone else is heavier than absolutely. Even your family.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But it's real.
Everybody thinks that. And it's like, none of these people are even going to be in my life in 5 years. Why do I have this going on?
Totally. Because, I told a lot of people that was the plan. And all of a sudden the plan falls apart. I felt so bad because my parents had put all this money into these private lessons.
Everybody invested in it. Yeah. But what did mom and dad say when this went down?
They were shocked because they'd been told the same thing. Like, she's got it. She's going to be great. She checks all the boxes. And then I didn't. And I think that I still remember both my parents sitting on our couch just being like, what do we even say? Like, nothing we can say is going to make you feel better. But my mom just cried with me. Aww. My dad was, he's a crier too. He cried a little bit.
He's dying inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause he can't fix it.
Yeah. And it's funny cause I mean, to jump ahead, at my wedding, that's what his wedding speech was about, was watching me go through that and how he was so desperate for me to get my fire back and to be back to my old self after that, because I was just so knocked down. Mm. So it was a hard time. It was a hard time. And it was like I said, all of a sudden, it's not just oh, you're going to graduate, have a great summer, and then go to college. It's you're going to graduate, have surgery, rehab all summer, and then go to a school that you were not planning on going to.
So, but that's what you did.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You did all those things that weren't the plan.
Right.
And you find yourself in the ambassador program.
Exactly.
At UVU.
Yes.
Moved away from home.
Yeah.
You know, out of the safety net of mom and,
totally.
And dad. And I guarantee you, mom and dad were nervous. This can be about you going to college there.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. And especially after the summer I'd had before, because they were how do we leave you alone and trust that you're going to be good?
Yeah.
And that was a real conversation that we had to have to be
are you good?
Are you good? Yeah. Yes. Be so for real right now. Are you good? And luckily I was, and I was ready to go, but it was also another situation, getting on the bus for training where I didn't know a soul. I was moving down to live with roommates I didn't know.
Were you doing it to run away from something, or were you running towards something?
I think definitely running away.
Yeah.
Because a lot of my friends were going to Utah State too. Yeah. And a lot of the people I knew from Cache Valley, you go to the school where everyone's from.
Yeah.
And so I think I was definitely running away. And like I said, I could not go to a game and watch people cheer. That was
too much.
I was not going to do that.
So plan B it was.
Plan B it was.
Plan B it was. So new mindset.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Had to do a complete 180, which, like I said, as the perfectionist planner, that felt really big, really not fun.
But it probably still fulfilled the need, because you had to re-engage yourself in so many things once you made that decision, even though you were running away from something, you then had to turn and run towards something else.
Exactly.
Put all your energy into that.
Yeah.
So that probably helped the healing process.
Yeah, for sure. It was something else to move on from.
You get there.
Mm-hmm.
What happens?
Well, this is funny. I remember, so I went to this ambassador retreat where you meet all these ambassadors. There's probably 60 or 70 of us, all these college age kids. And it reminded me so much of getting on the bus to go to Rapport.
Nice.
Because we rode on buses to go to this lodge in the middle of nowhere where no one knows each other. And I was like, okay, I've trained for this.
I've rode this. I know what we're doing.
I've
done harder.
Yes. I have the blueprint.
I dare you.
It was not the same.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things where that experience totally directly came into a later experience, because I knew okay, I'm going to have a different experience this time. I don't want to just make the one friend. I want to make a lot of friends.
Can I know your last name, please? What's your, last name? Okay. Yeah. Got it. Your last name. Okay. You guys are going to trust me.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. You're going to write my name down when we do a vote in about a day here. No, but yeah, that experience was very, reminiscent of the summer before, but it was great. I made a ton of friends, a lot of really awesome people who were, you know, being in a leadership program. There were a lot of really high achieving people, which was really exciting and pushed me to, you know, want to be better and want to get involved. A lot of the people who are in that program are involved in a lot of other programs throughout the school too. So, and you have to have good grades, you know, you have to do all the things. So
by the way, they're on scholarship.
Yes.
It's not like, you know, she it's showed not, up.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's getting the bill footed.
Yes.
She earned it.
Yes. That was, we had a housing scholarship. So everyone in this program lives on the same floor of this apartment complex.
Okay.
And so it was really crazy and really fun, but lots of new freshmen all hanging out together. And then that's how I met my husband too, is he was in the ambassador program. So that's how we met.
All stars aligned.
Yeah. Yeah. Never would have happened if I would have gone to Utah State and done the cheer thing, at least not likely.
How long into the program before you met him?
2 weeks before my freshman year of school started. So I was, 19 or 18, about to be 19, a little baby. And he was what, 20? Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Wow.
We say it's like the typical Utah County, love story where we've got married super young and did the whole thing since. So
everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, totally. And that was like the most full circle moment of my life is, you know, if things would have worked out the way I planned. I would.
Did you know that the moment you met him?
No. No, we were friends first.
Okay.
Yeah, it was not a love at first sight situation.
I don't think you're even supposed to know that at 18.
Yeah. I mean, but I love her story. They can't see her sparkle in her eyes. Yeah. That's why I'm asking.
So well,
yeah.
I listen to it and I just keep thinking everything happens for a reason and you would have never been there.
No. No.
If you wouldn't have had your dreams yanked out from underneath you, if you wouldn't have gotten injured, if you wouldn't have had to spend a summer rehabbing, if you wouldn't have had to make the choice to run away from something to go towards something else, you never would have been there.
Yeah. 1,000%.
And you never would have met him.
Right. Right.
So it's easy today to go, I don't know if I'd change that, you know.
Yeah, right. It's the compound effect that I mean, everything builds on each other, and then all of a sudden you go through all these experiences, you know, the moment that you didn't want to be here. Mm-hmm. And these people showed up, your friends, your mom, your dad, and you went to, you know, rapport, and you had an experience there, and then you go through this amazing experience of trying out, doing your dream, and you didn't get there, but it led to this other journey that you met your husband. Yeah. What's bigger than that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's back to the saying, life is not happening to you. It's happening for you.
Yeah. Very true.
And it's just hard when you're the one, when you feel like you're been knocked on your backside.
Yeah.
And you don't even know which way is up.
Right.
And it's like the walls are crashing down.
Yeah.
And you're having those thoughts of, I don't want to ride this ride anymore. I don't want to play this game anymore. I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah.
And you just have to trust the process. Like you really just have to trust that it'll all be okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you meet your husband and everything just starts to kind of make sense.
Yeah.
But after you guys meet, tell us, let's finish school.
Okay.
Yeah.
We met our freshman years right when school started. And then we started dating about a month or two, three later. Anyway, started dating and got married the next year, our sophomore year. So.
Wow.
Because that's what you do when you're in.
That's what you do when you're a Mormon from Utah County.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
Mom and dad excited?
They were scared and I do not blame them. Now that looking back, I'm like, what was that? That was insane. That's so
because
young.
That was 5 years ago. Yeah. Married.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was 20 and he was 21.
Cause statistically speaking, it's not the greatest move.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. But
that's awesome.
And oh no. And it can be,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, it's not for everyone.
No. And like, if I think of my siblings doing what I did, I'm like, no way.
You're
there's
hard
no way.
Yeah. Sorry. So you guys meet, you get married, mm-hmm. but you still got work to do.
Oh yeah.
How did that work out?
That was actually, I think about that a lot because I don't know, maybe this is a side note, but at the time I was working at a drug and alcohol rehab and I was front desk there and I got the opportunity to meet a lot of really interesting people who had really crazy life stories who, you know, they'd been a lot around the block and, you know, they were from around other parts of the country. So when they found out that I was getting married, it was like, I'm sorry, what? How Excuse old me? Are you? Yeah. Yeah, this is insane.
You look like you're 12.
Are your parents okay? Yeah. Are you an orphan? So they were really taken back. But then all it took was this like one lady saying to me, she was just like, she was talking to me about how I was getting married and I was ready for the whole spiel about like, you're so young. What are you doing? You're wasting your life, you know, or wasting your 20s. And I was getting ready for her to say that to me because that's what everyone had said to me. And she was just like, you are so lucky because that means you get to grow together. And that means you get to experience so much more of life together because so often we meet our person later in life and
you don't even know necessarily who you are yet.
And right.
You're not stuck in any way because you don't even know what you're going yet.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally. And so that like, that's the perspective I've always had is that we've, in our marriage, we've been able to grow together and we've been there through going through school, graduating, finding our first jobs, like that whole thing we got to do together. And I think it's made us all the stronger, you know? So it is crazy though. When other people tell me they're getting married at the age I get married, I'm like,
don't do
insane.
It.
Yeah. Oh, that's wild.
Well, I mean, you guys still dug in and finished school.
Yeah.
And you know, figured out you guys started adulting.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to just play around being married, finishing school, doing a leadership program and everything else.
Yeah.
So I look at it and go high five.
Thanks. Thanks.
But how did you finish? Finished strong?
Yeah. Yeah. I finished at the top of my class. And
what do you call that? How did you finish school?
Wait, what?
You graduated.
I'm not following.
You had a great honor graduating.
Oh,
top
yeah.
Top of your class.
Yes. Yes. So I graduated. Wait, I'm confused what you're saying.
That you graduated what?
At the top what of my class? What was your honor? Is that summa cum laude.
Yes.
Summa cum laude. Oh, sorry. I'm not following where I was going.
Well, I was thinking that. I was like, okay. Yeah.
I'm like, what are we
the
talking about?
The best of the best.
Seriously. Yeah.
Sorry.
What do we
graduated
say in LB2?
Top of her
what,
class.
What is in
no
LB2?
No big deal.
What's the word?
Best of the Don Totsu.
There
Don
you Totsu, go.
Yeah. So graduated summa cum laude and I finished my leadership program. I was involved in like some
you
other programs.
You
got to
give a speech.
No, thank Dang heaven. It. I graduated Dang during it. COVID drive-through graduation.
BS. We're going to go back.
Okay, we're going. That's what I was just thinking. She needs
You're
to go
giving
back.
Your speech.
I'll pass. I'll pass I for will. Now. Okay. But right. Yeah, no, it was great. So
you get married.
Yeah.
You graduate.
And then what?
Graduated.
Life's just one.
Wait, but I heard something before this began. So what happened after that?
Oh, I had a baby.
Oh, you
is
did.
Is that where we're
yes.
going with this? Yeah. Yeah. I had my little boy 2 years ago. I've got a 2-year-old now and he's
West.
Yeah. Light
everything
of my life.
Everything moves very quick.
Yeah.
But not really.
Yeah.
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 It's really not that fast. It just is. And you know, at that age, everything has happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. We're married for a few years, had West and then, I
became mom.
Became mom.
Which was easy for you.
Huge. No. Holy crap. That Huge. Kicks you in the butt.
Well, as I said, you're it's a master now. You got a 2-year-old. That's like you can master anything.
Oh. Yeah. It's crazy, but it's the best. But yeah, it's definitely come with its own set of challenges. That's for sure.
So before we go any further, stop right here. You have West.
Yeah.
Looking back at your life. And everything that you've been through from the milk to right now, what would you tell your former, let's go back to junior high, any advice? What advice would you give your junior high person on what you've learned up to date?
That's a great question. I would say that change is a good thing. Mm. Change is a good thing because that was my biggest fear is change. Is that I could not adapt to it. I couldn't get out of my comfort zone enough to recognize when something was good was happening to me because I just wanted it to stay in the same thing, in the same place, or to get out of your comfort zone, I think is another piece of advice I would give because every time I've grown, it's because I've gotten out of my comfort zone. And every time,
even though it's scary,
even though it's so scary, but life has always gotten better when I've gotten out of my comfort zone.
Even though you've had some tough,
tough
moments.
Yeah. In the long term, it always gets better.
But going through those things has forged you.
Yeah.
So how would you describe yourself today?
I would say I'm so much more resilient and I'm not as afraid of failure. Because there have been times when I've failed and I've gotten back up and kept going. And, you know, at the time when I went through training, that was so huge to me. Feeling a failure, you couldn't have said a worse word. And so to hear that over and over again, and then to grow from it, I think has just like been a repeat pattern in my life over and over again.
How would mom and dad describe you today?
Oh, that's a good question. I think they'd be really, I hope they would be really proud because, I don't think they would have seen, I don't know, like when you look back at, you know, where I was that summer before training or where I was after my ACL, if they would have said like that I would have had the courage to go out on my own and to forge my own path and to do all these things. I don't know if they probably would have thought I would have made a more comfortable choice and stayed closer to home. And so I think they would say that I'm pretty resilient.
Yeah. So your dad gave a speech at your wedding.
Yeah.
What else did he say?
He pretty much said like, you know, when your daughter comes to you and tells you she wants to get married, you're like, how has this happened? Like you're, yeah. Especially when you're 20 years old.
Is this April 1st? Yeah. What are we doing here? I understand what's going on.
Literally.
I met this boy and we're getting married.
Yes. Yeah. Literally.
What's his name? I'll take care of this.
Yeah. Seriously.
I would too.
Yeah. So I think, or he's talked a lot about, you know, I watched her be so devastated by what she thought was her dream. And now I've realized that this is her dream and this is what she wants and this is what she's going to do and pursue. And like my happiness was what made him happy, even though it
always
moved really quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. Always.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I just met you.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. I'm proud of me too. But
well, I want to know what's next.
Oh, that's a great question. When I saw that on the little question intake sheet, I was like, oh gosh, this is going to cause me to get really reflective. But right now I work. I'm a working mom, which is really hard. I work full time. But my career has been really important to me. So like continuing to grow in that is big for me. Having more kids.
And what are you doing in your career?
I'm in sales.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
what sales?
It's kind of a niche thing, but I sell fragrance diffusers. I work for a company called Pura.
Awesome.
Shout out to them.
But I need some of that here.
Honestly, yeah. It's amazing. Okay. To do.
Deal. Yeah. But I have been doing that since I graduated college. So I started there. It's been almost 4 years and,
She's a senior now at the company.
No, not quite. We're working on it. But, so I've been doing that and I have my accounts that I sell to, and that's been great. So I really love my job, continuing to work there. And then I obviously am a mom. That's my number one.
That's part time.
That's just a side gig.
That's a little side hustle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my thing. It's like giving me so much purpose. I love it so much. And so continuing to, you know, grow my family. How many kids do I want?
Oh yeah.
I had a really hard pregnancy with my first.
So only four.
So my husband's from six. So four is a great middle. I'm from three. So three.
Yeah.
So we're going to compromise and go with three. Yeah.
Nice.
No, we'll just see where the wind takes us.
Yeah. But
yeah. So raising my family, that's obviously a huge priority. And then I also like to post on social media a lot. That's like a big thing for me. That's a passion of mine. Yeah,
that's exciting.
So yeah, I felt like when I get on my phone, I see a lot of like stay at home moms, which is really awesome. But I felt like I wasn't seeing anyone who like looked like me, who was trying to work and trying to be a mom and not trying to. Oh, you're
somebody
right.
That's
you're
being
right.
A mom
who's working and who's and being working a mom
and making sure you're she takes care that. Of herself.
Yeah.
And oh, if you forgot, you're also a wife.
Yeah.
I mean, yes. I know that that's at the bottom now, and you would agree with me, but it's still real.
Yes. 100%. So
what's your social media?
What's my username?
Yeah.
It's AddyChris1.
No, say it again.
AddyChris1.
Okay.
But yeah, I like posting on that. I would love to see that grow just cause I've felt like there was not a lot of people who looked like me. It was a lot of stay at home moms, which is so great and very admirable role, but
you get to share your story there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see where that takes us. But for now, that's keeping me pretty busy, if you can imagine.
I mean, we're excited. I mean, you're in like fast forward right now. It sounds like you just got the fast forward, but I would just, I feel like you're very in tune with everything that's going on.
Well,
and I know
you.
That you're working hard.
Thanks.
And enjoying all of it. You deserve it.
Thank you.
For reals.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's exciting. We're so happy for you.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's such an honor to know you and to have seen you grow. I remember you being very young and thinking, I'm older than her and I just figured out. And man, you really do have it figured out.
Oh, you're so sweet. Yeah. Thank you. That means a lot to me. And thanks for having me. This has been so great.
Thanks for opening up.
Yeah.
It was real. Thanks.
And I like that.
Not a lot of people know that. Like, I think if my siblings listen, they're going to be like,
What
are you talking about? Yeah. It's funny because talking about it obviously takes me back to that space, but it also like makes me so proud to think of how far I've come. So
you overcome.
Thanks.
Yep.
You did.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's all.
Respect, integrity, passion, personal power, leadership, enthusiasm. This has been the Empowering Youth Podcast from Building Utah Youth. To become part of the 3%, visit Building Utah Youth on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or on our website at buildingutahyouth.org.